Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Amen. Let's be seated. We'll get into the Word, then we can respond to the Word. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, in the truth version, of course. We are assured that when this earthly tent we live in is destroyed, when we die physically finished with these present bodies, we have a new home to look forward to in heaven, a house that has not been constructed with human hands, but an eternal body. We grow tired of our present bodies, longing for the time when we will be clothed with our new heavenly bodies. We will not feel exposed then as we do now. In this present body, we struggle and feel burdened by our sufferings. But our spirits will have new spiritual bodies in heaven. Our mortal lives will give way to the immortal, to eternal life. God has made us his children for this very reason. This is proved by the fact that he has already given us his eternal spirit, the guarantee of our future destiny. Therefore, we have good cause to be confident, no matter what the situation. For we know that while we live in these present bodies, we are not yet at one with the Lord in our heavenly bodies. But we live by faith in what he has promised, not in what we see happening at present. I repeat, we can have absolute confidence that it will be much better when we have finished with these present bodies and have been taken home to be with the Lord eternally. This being the case, we have made it our aim to please him in every way possible, both now in this life and in the life that is to come. For we all have to come before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us will receive the right reward for what he or she has done in this present body. And he will determine what has been good and what has been bad in his eyes. Because we know what it means to live in fear of the Lord, not wanting to displease him in any way, we do all we can to persuade others to believe the truth of the gospel. God knows this is our intention, and I trust you also realize this. Let's go on to chapter 6 and verse 3. So we have no desire to hinder anyone from receiving what God wants to give. If we were to do that, our ministry would be discredited. No, we are able to commend ourselves in every way because of the cost we have been prepared to embrace for the cause of the gospel. We have needed great endurance in the face of many difficulties and hardships, and in circumstances that have caused much distress. We have suffered floggings, imprisonment, and even riots. We certainly have worked hard and have known what it is to be without sleep and food. We have had to live in purity. We have needed understanding, patience, and kindness. We have followed the leading of the Holy Spirit and have acted with love. We have spoken the truth and have been instruments of God's power. We have needed to use the spiritual weapons of righteousness to be on the offensive and also in self-defense. We have known times of glory and yet have been treated with dishonor. Sometimes we have been praised, at other times we have been slandered. Although we are genuine, we have been regarded by some as impostors. Sometimes we are well known, in other places nobody knows who we are. We have been close to death, but we are still here. We have been beaten, but not killed. Even in times of sorrow, we have continued to rejoice. Even when poor ourselves, we have been able to make many rich through what they have received from God. We have nothing ourselves, but truly we have everything in Christ. Good Friday, Easter, every day of our lives. The whole of the Christian message is victory over adversity. Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation. There are some who want to be raptured so they don't suffer tribulation. But actually, what the scripture says is that we all have to go through times of trouble, of tribulation. Tribulation is great trouble. Jesus did that, Paul did that, the early Christians did that. Christians in places like China and other parts of the world are doing that now. Great trouble. But the Christian message is not that God will save us from having great trouble, but gives us the victory over it when it comes. Now, that's not to say that we're to anticipate, expect, welcome great trouble. It's just that if we're going to be faithful to God, it's going to be inevitable. That there will be the kind of opposition that Paul experienced. Perhaps not all that he experienced. We're not likely to get beaten and flogged and stoned, left for dead. But, I mean, if I look at my own experience, many of those things he mentions, I've certainly experienced, and some of them you will have as well. Now, this is a season of advance. What is advancing? Well, God has been making clear to us in recent days, it's the kingdom that is to advance. But you see, what we read in Scripture is that the kingdom will not advance easily. This is why forceful people take hold of it. This is why there's got to be guts and determination. But what is the kingdom? The kingdom is victory. The kingdom can only advance where there is victory. Because only where there is victory can the rule and reign of Christ be established. The reign of Christ is not manifested through failure, fear, defeat, but it's manifested in victory. So the cross is the place of victory. The resurrection is a time of victory. And God, when his Son ascended to heaven, poured out his Spirit, the Spirit of victory. The Spirit that led Jesus through the cross, through the resurrection, through the ascension, before he was poured out upon his people. So, if we have received the Spirit, we have received the Spirit that enables us to live in victory. Now, what Paul is saying to the Corinthians is that although this is a truth for the church corporately, it is also a truth for each individual. Because the body of Christ is made up of a number of individuals, the body can only advance in victory, causing the kingdom to advance, if the members of the body are advancing in victory in their personal lives. So all of us will have challenges, all of us will have difficulties, all of us will have affliction. Now, affliction is not necessarily physical disease, it's anything that comes against you, really. But God has given us the victory over all affliction. So this means that what God intends is for us to have a victorious mentality. Amen. Now, you do not have a victorious mentality while you talk about the problem. That's a problem mentality. You see, if you have a particular mindset, then what you say will reflect that mindset. So if we have a victorious mindset, we will speak victoriously. It isn't that that will save us from the cost, save us from affliction, trouble, tribulation, but the course of our lives is directed by what we say. So if we speak victory over those circumstances, we will advance. And actually, as you advance, you, in some small way, are causing the kingdom to advance. And when corporately we advance because we're being victorious over our circumstances, then we are having a considerable effect upon the kingdom advancing. And in a ministry like Kingdom Faith, that means not just advancing here locally, but advancing nationally and even internationally because of the influence that Kingdom Faith has. So even what is going on in our little lives can have great impact. Here, Paul is one believer. And he lists a whole lot of things that he had to suffer, the adversity of the cost. But out of his victory over all that affliction, look how much fruit has come. We're even reading about his victories nearly 2,000 years later. And okay, people might not read about your victories, but they can have a considerable impact in the spiritual realm. Now, God has been also talking to us about the difference between soulish believers and spiritual believers. Soulish believers cannot live in victory. Because the soulish believer is essentially still focused on himself. And Jesus says, in your self-life, there's nothing good. So there's no victory in yourself. By depending upon yourself, you cannot have victory. But the victorious one lives within you. So it's only by depending upon him that the victory gets manifested. So he is our victory. Now, you see, this is really seen by what Jesus accomplished on the cross. What victories has Christ already won? Because those are the victories that he's given us. Now, when he gives you victory, you don't have to fight for it, you only have to apply it. So, what are the victories that he's won that we have to apply so that we can advance and the kingdom can advance? Well, on the cross, he overcame all our sins. He didn't overcome his sin because he didn't have any to overcome. He defeated our sins. So his blood is able to wash away the guilt of our sins because he defeated our sins. He overcame our sins by the shedding of his perfect sacrifice on behalf of all our imperfections. So you can live free from guilt, which means you have victory over guilt because of the victory that he won on the cross. But the cross also indicates that he defeated the power of sin. Not just our sins, but the power of sin. So no sin needs to have any control in your life whatsoever. You can't excuse yourself for what people call their besetting sin, their little weakness, the thing that I never seem to get victory over, because Jesus already defeated that. He defeated the power of sin on the cross. Now, by faith, we have to apply that victory. But you see, while you're fighting that particular issue, you're not trusting in the victory that Jesus has already won over it. You are soulishly trying to overcome instead of living in the good of the victory that he's already won. Do you have any believers here this morning? So you see, there's no point in us refighting a battle that's already been decided. Soulish believers are constantly fighting issues in their lives that they shouldn't be fighting, because if they believed in the victory, the issues wouldn't still be there. And fighting the issue only sort of increases the problem instead of resolving it. Now, on the cross, Jesus overcame the self-life. Got a good reception? I see why the Lord wanted me to speak with this now. He overcame the self-life. That's what it means to say, I have been crucified with Christ. So if you indulge your self-life in some way, you are indulging what has already been defeated, which doesn't seem a very clever thing to do. Doesn't seem sensible. Because, you see, when Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, he had to do on the cross all that was possible to make that possible for us. So we are able to deny ourselves because the self-life was defeated. And this is the very thing that Paul is saying to the Galatians. I have been crucified. I, my self-life has been crucified with Christ. I, that self-life, longer lives. Does he live in the body? Yes. Does he suffer all kinds of things in the body? Yes. But why doesn't he complain? Through all that he suffers here and later in 2 Corinthians when he talks about the cost again, why is there no sense of him complaining? Because if he complained, it would be evident that he didn't believe his self-life had been overcome on the cross. You see, why does the scripture say, do all things without grumbling or complaining? Because if you grumble, it's the evidence that you are not living in Christ's victory over the self-life. In fact, one of the things that God does in us in putting us in trying and testing circumstances is to show us the nature of our hearts. Whether we're really living as overcomers or whether we start complaining, moaning, groaning. This isn't right, that isn't right, boom, 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 boom. All negativity, because from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, well, how can you be living in victory if there are all those negatives on your lips? What is in your heart, victory or self? Anybody breathing? So, when Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you've got to deny yourself. He's not saying you've got to fight against the things that you want to do so that you can do what I want to do. I mean, that there's the implication of that, but that's not the essence of it. The essence is you've got to deny the falsehood that self-life has not been overcome on the cross. There's no use you trying to put yourself to death. It doesn't work. And how can you put to death what has died with Christ? You see, the way to be set free from all that stuff is to recognize that you have been crucified with Christ. The only thing that will save people is the cross. Not appealing to them, you know, we can give you a better life if you're a Christian and all that stuff. People actually have to come through the cross. Nobody can get saved without going through the cross. And the cross is death itself. We had some baptism on Sunday. What does baptism represent? You have died. We must get rid of that thing. Unfortunately, we haven't seen it recently, but on the slides, you know, when we advertise baptism, we advertise it as a public expression of our faith or something like that. It's not. That's not what baptism is. Baptism is recognizing you've died with Christ. It's not a public affirmation of faith. When you are baptized, you affirm your faith publicly, but that's not what it means. What baptism is a funeral service, because you are recognizing when Jesus died, I died. I no longer have to live for myself or live dependent upon myself. What we need to do is to keep visually before people what baptism means. I mean, some of you will have heard me say this before, but I remember going into Pentonville Prison, where some of the nation's worst criminals are. That and Dartmoor are the two prisons where the worst offenders go. And there were about 300 men in the service this Sunday morning. The only reason why most of them are there is it's an hour out of the cell on a Sunday. It's the only time you get out of your cell. There's no work parties or anything. So 1 hour out of the cell, they may as well go to the chapel for an hour. That's what gets them there. And you're always much in prayer on these situations, because you've got sort of 300 rather interesting characters, who really, most of whom have got no interest in God, not even there for the right reason. And you've got to hold their attention. You know, I was told when I first went into prisons like that, you can only speak for about 7 minutes because nobody's going to be able to listen any longer than that. But I can remember on this particular occasion, the way the Spirit led me to begin with, say, I haven't come here to reform you, because God doesn't want to reform you. That got their interest. And then I said, he wants you dead. I spoke for the next 20 minutes, and there was not a movement or a stir in that chapel. 49 prisoners came to the Lord that morning, and they were really all of them born again, because they had a system there, had a very good chaplain, where everyone, you weren't not allowed to have people come forward, because they're afraid what they might do to you. But they have, if they've responded, they give their number to one of the chaplain's staff as they leave. And within 24 hours, either that, later that day or the following day on the Monday, within 24 hours, every one of them is visited in their cells, and they're all led thoroughly through repentance and faith to be born again. So I heard after the event, because you can't get people to, you're not allowed to get them to respond there and then, that 49 men got born again. Why? Because we talked about what it means. No fluffing around the edges. No trying to make the gospel attractive. The gospel isn't attractive. It's good news, but it's only good news that comes on the back of bad news. And if people don't believe the bad news, they don't see the need of the good news. And you see, this is the truth for every sinner out there. God wants them dead. That's why Jesus came. That's why he offered his life on the cross. That's why he took all sinners to the cross with him, because he wants them dead. And then raised to a new life in him. We try to make the gospel attractive instead of really speaking into the need that the person has. You see, the great thing is that everything, if you think about it, everything that God does in your life by the Spirit is on the death-resurrection principle. You die to something and you're raised up in a new way. It's like a cycle that is being constantly repeated. And the reason why some Christians get stuck with their problems is because of the lack of death. They're trying to get the victory without going through the cross. But there couldn't have been a resurrection without the cross. Jesus had to die, or there could be no resurrection. If we don't go through the cross, we cannot express the risen life. So there's this constant dying to self, not because we're trying to put ourselves to death, but because we're recognizing that that's what happened on the cross. I was crucified with Christ. And if something happens and stirs up a self-reaction in me or in you, that means that we do not reckon ourselves as dead. Certainly not in that particular, at that particular time, in those particular circumstances. And the answer is not to get all bitter and resentful and angry. The answer is to begin to praise God. Thank you, Lord, I've died. So it doesn't matter. That's why, you see, when Jesus was falsely accused at his trials, he said nothing. Why? Because if you're falsely accused and you're trying to defend yourself, what are you doing? You're trying to defend yourself instead of dying to yourself. I've been accused of all kinds of things, but people out there say all kinds of things that are untrue. So what? I'm not going to let that hassle me. I'm not even going to stand up and say, look, I've heard this and this and this and this. That's not true. This is not true. Why? Because I'd be defending myself. What's the purpose of that? God always vindicates the truth. And if God will vindicate the truth, then I don't have to worry, just like Jesus didn't have to worry, if people are saying false things. Because finally, he will vindicate the truth. You see, this is why Paul didn't complain. He went through all these things, he didn't complain. He said, well, I'm doing this for the truth. And I don't have to defend myself and get all uppity about it and complain and all the rest of it. Because my focus would be on myself and not the kingdom advancing. See, because his attitude was the kingdom will advance, if that's cost and cost to himself, so what? The important thing is the kingdom is advancing. If he gets beaten, shipwrecked, flogged or stoned or whatever, that's all right so long as the kingdom is advancing. God is permitting thousands of Christians today to be in prison for their faith. And every day, it's reckoned there's over 200 who are martyred for their faith. Every day. Now, this year. Sorry. There's an incredible number of people dying for their faith. Actually, I'm not sure if it's every week or every day, but anyway, there's hundreds of people, thousands of people every year being martyred. God doesn't stop it. God doesn't prevent it. See, where is the kingdom advancing most in the world today? China. You get into Western countries, and as soon as there's any cost, people start complaining. I'm not allowed to wear my cross and all the rest of it. Okay, there's matters of principle here, but you know, I mean, what's that compared to losing your life because you refuse to deny Christ? You see, the point is that whether we're trying to preserve self or losing self, you know, when we look at the use of our time, do we think we have any right to time off? Well, we have work contracts, and according to the contract, yeah, but come on. What's our spiritual attitude? I mean, Kingdom of Faith got birthed out of community where people didn't get paid, they didn't have so many weeks' holiday a year or anything like that. Our attitude is, well, we're living for the kingdom. Our whole concern is to see the kingdom advance. Yes, we all need time off to get rested and refreshed so that we're strong and ready for kingdom duty. To see the kingdom advance. But we're not here for a job, are we? We've got rid of that job mentality. We're here because we want to fulfill what God is asking of us so the kingdom can advance. So part of that, an essential part of that, is, well, on the cross, Jesus overcame sin. On the cross, he overcame the power of sin. On the cross, he overcame me. See, you get raised up in victory when you know that you were defeated. The person that you were was defeated. So the new triumphant you can emerge. You're getting too excited. It's Tuesday morning. Cross, resurrection principle in everything. So on the cross, Jesus defeated every negative. Now, when he pours his victorious spirit into our lives, he gives us every positive. But we can only have every positive because he's dealt with every negative. So the cross dealt the death blow to every negative. So Satan was defeated. all the principalities and powers of darkness were defeated. They were overcome. They were disarmed, the cross. You see, when Paul says in Corinthians that those principalities and powers were disarmed, what's he saying? Well, when you disarm an enemy, it's because you have defeated him. You capture him. So that gives us the authority over all those demonic powers because they've been disarmed. So we can exercise that authority and have victory over every spirit that comes against us. However, to exercise that victory, you have to discern that there are spirits that are coming against you. And one of the most neglected gifts of the Holy Spirit is the discerning of spirits. That so many Christians are battling a problem instead of overcoming the spirits that are behind the problem. If you don't recognize that those things have been caused by demonic spirits that are wanting to oppress or wanting to afflict you in some way, then you're not likely to get the victory. Now, that doesn't mean that there won't be cost. You see, think for a moment of Jesus going to the cross. Satan entered Judas. Satan is a spirit. He can only be in one place at one time. He's not omnipresent like God is. Satan himself, as Scripture says, entered Judas. Now, Judas goes to the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders, and he makes a pact with them to betray Jesus. What were those religious leaders doing? They weren't making a pact with Judas. They were making a pact with Satan. Because it was Satan who was working through Judas. Now, Jesus, of course, would have been well aware of that. Jesus, as he had all through his ministry, could take authority over the power of Satan. But he chose not to do so because he wanted to defeat Satan on the cross, overcome him, and so prevent his death. But he actually wanted to, or he knew his Father, wanted him to go to the cross in order to defeat Satan on behalf of all those for whom Jesus died. So, that victory over the enemy and over the powers of darkness has already been won. Now, you see, when you bind and loose, I sort of listen sometimes to the people the way they lead prayer, and if you're not careful, you can make it sound as if you are doing something, instead of applying what Jesus has done. You see, we have the authority to bind and to loose because Jesus has overcome the enemy. We're not fighting the enemy. We're applying the victory that Jesus has already won. That's the authority we have, you see. If it's already established in heaven, then we have the authority to establish it on earth. And then the kingdom will advance. Why? Because we have applied the victory of Jesus over the powers of darkness, over oppression, sometimes over sickness. Not all sickness is caused that way, but some is. over whatever else it is that is coming against us. Because we've got this victory mentality, not that I've got to get the victory. I don't ever have to get the victory. I will be victorious if I apply the victory of Jesus. He is my victory. And if he is my victory, I can't be defeated. So, you see, when it comes to sickness, he also overcame sickness on the cross. I have victory over all sickness. You have victory over all sickness. So what is your mentality? This sickness cannot prevail. This sickness cannot have the last word. You can't wish that onto other people, although you'd like to, because this is where personal faith has to kick in. But the confession of your faith is that I have the victory. You see, for a Christian, death is not failure, it's victory. Death is swallowed up in what? In victory. Because the cross is followed by the resurrection, and the cross resurrection principle is working through everything in our lives. I listen, you know, when people give their testimonies of baptism, we had some good testimonies on Sunday, didn't we? But wouldn't it be good to hear somebody say, well, I want to be baptized because I want to know that I've died and I'm now alive with a new life. That I've died. Not just that I want to follow Jesus and I want to be a better Christian, but I've died. Because that's what we need to be teaching people before they get baptized. This funeral service, you've died. You're going to die. I mean, it's good news. If you die now, you don't have to worry about the death that's to come physically. Don't let's water down the truth. It's all about death and resurrection. Now, the point is that until somebody dies, they're living in death. All the sinners out there that have not been saved are living, according to the scripture, they're living in condemnation and death. Spiritually. So what happens when a person is born again? They come alive. They come out of death into life. You see, we're not offering people a better life, we're offering them a new life. We're not offering change, we're offering exchange. I mean, you hear me, I thump away at this time and time again, yet still I hear people talk about change. No, 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 it's not about change, it's about being made new. We are a new creation. God, you see, it's like St. Joseph's prison. It hasn't come to reform you, it hasn't come to change you. It's come so you die and are made a new creation. You have been made new. And new creations don't need to act and react in the same way as old creation. Because now you live in life, not in death. Now you're in Christ. You don't depend upon yourself. Nonsensical, isn't it, to live in Christ and depend on yourself? That would be stupid. So the victory over sin, over the power of sin, over the self, over Satan, over sickness, it's already been won. Total victory over every negative. Then we are raised to this new life. And God fills us with the Spirit, which is the Spirit of everything that is positive. Then he sends us out into the world where every negative affliction will come against us, as Paul says. But won't touch you because of what you've got on the inside of you. No grumbling. Why? Because the positive is always going to oppose the negative, and the negative is always going to oppose the positive. There's always going to be this clash between the spirit and the flesh. And because the world is just full of people that are living in the flesh, there is bound to be the opposition, conflict. And the conflict can even come from Christians when the Christians are living soulishly or in the flesh. Conflict with those who are moving in the spirit. But you see, we can't move in the spirit while we're trusting in ourselves. I've been doing the proofreading of this study edition of the truth. And you know, at the bottom of every page, you've got notes for the text that's on that page. And I got to one point, as I was doing this all day, every day, last week, I got to the point of saying, of thinking, really, when you analyze what is being said in all these scriptures, there are just a handful of truths. That's all. Just a handful of truths that are said again and again and again and again and again in different ways. Whether it's Jesus, whether it's Paul, whether it's Peter, whether it's John, the same truths again and again and again. And you know, I look at some of the notes and think, well, I've said that. Well, of course I have. Said it several times. Why? Because the scripture just repeats these basic truths again and again and again. We've got several hundred pages of text in the New Testament. But only a handful of basic truths. And you could say all those truths are summed up in one statement of Jesus. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and come with me, follow up. You could say, well, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. You can say only believe or repent and believe, but it all comes down to the same thing. Just applying the cross, applying the resurrection in the power of the Spirit. It's all very simple, really. Doesn't matter where you look, you'll find the same truth again and again and again. I can't, but he can. In me there dwells nothing good, but look at him. The power of the truth. It's living in the victory so we can advance and the kingdom can advance. Now, the last thing I want to say is simply this. Knowing the truth is not necessarily living in the truth. You see, you can know that Jesus has won the victory. You can even know that therefore you have the victory and yet still not live in victory. Because that's where the principle of faith comes in. You apply the victory by faith. Yes. Now, I'm sure you've all seen the end of a sporting fixture. It might be a soccer match, could be anything. Especially any team game. And you've got the two teams, or you've got the two tennis players, or whatever. You look at them, and you can tell which one won and which one lost. You can tell their body language demonstrates who got the victory. And who didn't? So what's your body language?
Very good.
You see, if we're living in victory, our body language, what we say, how we appear, our attitude, everything is going to be positive.
Very good.
We're going to have positive body language. We're going to be joyful always. We're going to be giving thanks in all circumstances. Oh, you know, self, you think, but the spirit rises up. Yes!
Come on.
You do have a soul life, so it's not surprising that sometimes your inward reaction is, this is costly. But that's okay, because you have died. And if you've died, then you've died to avoiding cost. You've died to compromise. You've died to wanting your will instead of his. Your life is now hidden with Christ in God. That means it's hidden in victory. So we're overcomers. Not because somebody stands up the front and says, we're overcomers. And we're like, yeah! Brr. But because we've got an overcoming mentality. And those with overcoming mentality will advance. So term starts this evening. This is going to be a term of advance, of kingdom advance. Not just for the students, but for all of us, for everybody connected with Kingdom Faith. The advance is already happening, but everything is going to be focused on this advance. Why? Because we're reigning. I read something which, you know, sometimes you read things and you think, yeah, I perhaps wouldn't have wanted to put it in that way, but that's true. That you can only really walk faithfully in the Spirit if you're continually dissatisfied. I know exactly what that means. I mean, people have often said to me, you know, some of the things you say, you make it appear as if you're dissatisfied with us. Especially when you talk to the team and so on. And yeah, I'm not dissatisfied with you, I'm dissatisfied by myself, but I'm dissatisfied because if you're ever satisfied, you stop advancing. It's that dissatisfaction that keeps you motivated to be reaching out for more. This is why Paul says, you know, I don't claim to have taken hold of it all yet, but I'm reaching out for that which lies ahead. Why? Because he's dissatisfied with where he is now. He knows there's more. There's always more. And I don't know about you, but I have to stir myself up all the time to reach out for more. It's so easy just to stop doing that and just to be satisfied with what we have because it's good. But the good is the enemy of the best. And there has to be that sort of dissatisfaction so that you keep reaching out for more, more, more. Yeah, Lord, it's great what you're doing now, but you can do much more. Yes, we're beginning to advance, but we've got much further to go and much. And yes, you're accelerating things, but you need to accelerate them still more. And yes, Lord, we're seeing some people won for Christ, but you've been talking to us about harvest. We're reaching out for harvest. We can't be satisfied with a few people coming to the Lord now. We want to see harvest. And it's not a question of, well, you know, God will do it in time. No, no, no. He will answer the prayer of urgency, of determination, of, oh, God, come on. He's actually telling us to come on. But, you know, it's when you start this, oh, Lord, 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 he says, ah, now you're beginning to feel like I feel. So, how hungry are you this week, meeting with God? How hungry are you to meet with God? How hungry are you for more? More victory, because you're taking hold of the victory and applying it. More freedom, more anointing. More fruit, more, more, more. There's always more. Strange paradox in the Christian life. Because I have all, I want more. I want more of what I have to be revealed, to be manifested, to be expressed, to actually be seen in my life so that it produces fruit. But if I'm trying to do it, failure. If I know I've died, but the victory is mine in Christ, that's success. That's advance. Hallelujah. So it's going to be a good week.
Amen.
Yeah. And whatever has come against us is going to be defeated.
Yes.
Because it has been defeated. And that's freedom. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Now just thank the Lord that the cross is history. The cross is a finished work. God can never add to what he's done on the cross. It was total victory. It was final victory over your sin, over the power of sin, over self, over Satan, over sickness, over compromise. Oh, it's the final victory. Jesus really meant it when he said, "It is finished." Oh, hallelujah. And the scripture says, I have died. I'm not trying to put myself to death, but I have died. My life is now hidden with Christ in God. I am living in God. God is living in me. Now, the scripture says, I have died. I don't have to defend myself. I don't have to promote myself. I don't have to do anything that is focused on self because I have died. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the Christ in me is going to advance. The Christ in me is going to enable me to advance. Hallelujah. I have died. I have died. Pura la bazutu di sataria lero bakara situ di sanduma. Bola la bazutu di sataria lero bakara situ di sanduma. Bola la bazutu di sarataria lero bakara situ di sanduma. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Bola da bazaturia lero bakara situ di sanduma kara situ. Just thank the Lord. He didn't come to reform you. He didn't come to change you. He came to make you new. You're not a changed you. You're a new you. Hallelujah. Your identity now is Christ in you. Praise you, Jesus. Pura la basoto di satari elero bakara sito di sandama. Balala bazuturi sarabazuturi sato bakarasituri zanduma. Yes, 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 yes. Praise you, Jesus. Potaparazata barazituma. Now thank him for the truth. That your victory is applying the truth. The truth of the cross, the truth of the resurrection. Hallelujah. The truth of the victory of Jesus. Oh, thank him that you have the victory. Scripture says we have the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, I'm living in your victory. Thank you, Lord, that the victorious one is living in me. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of victory. And I thank you, Lord, that you're living in me. I thank you that today I overcome because my trust is in you. And I give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Praise you, Jesus. Sato barazatari elero bakarasitri sandama. Balalabazatu barazitaba. Now, Lord, we just don't want to hear a series of messages this week. We want to meet with you. We want to see a release of that life that you have put in us that will increase the power of the anointing that's on us, both personally and corporately. That, Lord, we will see the outworking of victory so your kingdom can advance. Lord, we recognize your kingdom can't advance through failure and defeat. But you have created us that now we can advance in your victory. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Purata parazatari elera bakarasito di sandama.
Pola tapare azatu pakarasita di sato pakarasita ba. Balana mazoto di satari eleba karasita di sandama. Balatapare azatu pakarasita di sato pakarasita marandama. Borata pari esito di satari eleba karasita di sandama. Come on, Jesus. Come on, Jesus. Buparazatari eleba karasita di sandama. Balata pari esito di satari eletto bakarasito ba. Oh, hallelujah. Now, Lord, we pray for all the students as they return today. We thank you, Lord, that everybody is going to come ready. Oh, with open hearts. That, Lord, we're going to, this term, we're going to run to win the crown. We are going for gold. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that everybody here, everybody on the team, all the students, thank you, Lord, that we're winners. Hallelujah. And thank you, Lord, that we are going to overcome because you say that he who overcomes will receive the crown of life. Thank you, Lord. This is going to be a time of overcoming, and your kingdom is going to advance. Now, thank you, Lord, that we're not fighting, we're applying your victory. And we just give you all the glory, Lord, that you have won the victory, that you have given us the victory through Christ our Lord. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Now, Lord, we just ask that you forgive any complaining, dissatisfaction of the wrong kind, any negativity. Instead of rising up with faith, when we have expressed negative things that have been in our hearts, negative attitudes, negative mentalities, negative mindsets. Thank you, Lord, for renewing of our minds so we know your good, acceptable, and perfect will. Hallelujah. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your cleansing. What was the... Let's continue praying. But what was the last temptation that Jesus had to overcome? It happened when he was on the cross. When it was said to him, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Avoid any further suffering or cost. Jesus refused that temptation. He embraced the cost. He embraced the pain, the suffering, even the death, to give us victory. Satan said to him at the beginning, if you're the Son of God, turn the stones to bread. And there as he hangs on the cross, if you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. Now we are the sons of God.
We don't have to suffer Jesus' cross, but we do have a cross that we take up every day. And we need to say to the Lord, Lord, I'm not going to give in to the temptation to avoid cost. Whatever it costs me to be faithful, to be true to your call, like Jesus, I embrace that cost. Like Paul, I embrace that cost. In whatever ways I need to deny myself, take up my cross and follow after you, I embrace that. We're not embracing sickness or anything like that. We're embracing whatever it costs us to remain faithful and true. We're not avoiding the cost. We're embracing the cost. Whatever it's going to cost us to love others as he has loved us, whatever it's going to cost us to make Jesus known, whatever it's going to cost to be where God wants us to be when he wants us to be there instead of doing what we would like to do, whatever the cost, we embrace it so the kingdom can advance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you just affirm that you're living for the kingdom? You're not living for a job with Kingdom Faith. You're not living for the salary at the end of the month. You're not living because you want a ministry. You're living for the King. You're living for the kingdom. You're seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. You're living to see the kingdom advance. Doesn't matter what it costs. Hallelujah. You will advance. The kingdom will advance. Jesus will be glorified. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for kingdom advance this week. Now, Lord, we thank you for the right kind of dissatisfaction where we're always reaching out for more. For more of you. Lord, let there be that hunger in everybody's heart this week that we want more of you to be manifested in our lives, more of that victory to be revealed, more of your life, more of your love, more of your power to be manifested through us. Porataparra zatoparasitapa. That we're not settling into any comfort zones, but Lord, we're reaching out for more, 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 more. And thank you, Lord, that you want to take hold of us in greater ways so that you can use us to bear more fruit for your glory. And we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. Balala basotori saratori eleroba karasitori sanduma.
Balala basuturi sarala basuturi sato bakara sitri sanduma. Balatapari zato bakara sitri sanduma. Balala basuturi sato bakara sitri sando bakara sitoba. O papara zatari elera bakara sitri sanduma. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your life in me, Lord. Thank you that you have given me the fullness of life. Thank you that you have put your kingdom within me. Oh, praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you that you have given me the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that you have made me an overcomer. Thank you, Lord. I praise you, Jesus. It's all your work. It's all your goodness. It's all your mercy, your love, your grace, your power. Thank you that this is the time of your favor. Thank you that this is a time of extraordinary favor for your people. And thank you, Lord, for all the increased fruitfulness that is going to come about as your kingdom advances. Praise your wonderful name, Lord. Poratapari azatu bakarasituri sanduma. Balalabazatari elero bakarasituri sanduma. Brostakari azituri satari elero bakarasituba. Oh, Lord, we want to be hungry, hungry, hungry for more of you. Yes, to see more of you revealed in us and among us. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Forgetting what lies behind, we're reaching out for what lies ahead. We want to take hold of everything for which you have taken hold of us. We do not yet claim to have done that. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. But Lord, we're reaching out for more. And we're just making ourselves available to you this week so that more of you can be revealed in more of each one of us. Praise your wonderful name. Come on, let's give the Lord the glory, the honor, the thanks. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.